Well, a charge from God's Word means that you need a Bible. You might have to share your Bible. And a charge means a short sermon. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful in the knowledge of your love for us. And Jeff and I, as pastors, love these young people. And we want them to do well. We want them to excel in godliness, in knowing Christ, communing with Christ, and serving Christ. So we pray that they will hear very well this brief message from the Word of God. Drink it down. Love it. Cherish it. Remember it. Meditate upon it. And we ask that as all of the Word proclaimed and read should transform the heart and transform the life, that this also will be a time of transformation and growth and maturity. And we pray that each of these young people will know you, love you, and serve you all of the days of their lives, and their children after them, should you bless them in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's open God's Word to Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. And I have to read this from the Authorized Version. But this is the word of the Lord. This one verse to begin with. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And so you are about to be sent off. What more can Jeff and I say to you than we have said over these years as your ministers? But there is much more to be said. There is much more from God's Word to learn. And this, though brief, is among the most important things of all that can be said to you at this time. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Will you ponder that verse with me for a few moments? First, the text tells us to love God's Word. Oh, how love I thy law. You are to love God's Word. And the question is, do you? Do you love God's Word preeminently? Do you love it above all? Do you find it to be your meat and your drink? And only those can or want to love this Word who are born again, who actually know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Now, I can know no one's heart. The Lord knows each heart. And through the preaching of His Word, the Holy Spirit exposes the heart. And so, let me say, this is first and foremost, even though my assumption is that you know the Lord, you've made professions of faith in Christ, I cannot know that. And so, one more time, I want to take the opportunity to say to you that if you are not born from above, if your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ready to be sent off. You're not ready for life, and you're certainly not ready for death. And so I feel compelled once more to say, in all seriousness, you must be born again. Are you born from above? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You must start there. Otherwise, your minds and affections and wills are still in darkness. And if you have any question about this, then we want to know so that we can talk with you about it and open God's Word with you even more personally once again. But if you know the Lord, then your minds have been transformed, your affections and your wills are no longer in darkness, and you are ready to be sent off. So, loving God's Word, do you love God's Word? And God's Word here is called God's law. Oh, how love I thy law. The law, the prophets, and the writings were sometimes called the law. And so this means all of God's Word. And now with a concluded canon, the entirety of the Word of God we are to love. So how do I know if I love God's Word? Let me give you four ways that you can know if you love God's Word. First, you don't miss the preaching of the gospel. You really can't wait to get there. You're eager to hear God's man expound God's book. You love to hear the Word preached. Secondly, you know you love God's Word if you read it and your soul is sustained by it. You can't live without the Word proclaimed and the Word read personally. And you know you love God's Word if you commune with Christ when you read this Word. Now, you know that there's a stress here upon the fact that this is a book of redemptive history and that the entire Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you actually commune with Jesus when you read the Bible. And you know that you love God's Word when there is every attempt on your part to be universally obedient to what the Lord would have you to think and do. Not, I will obey this, but I will not obey that. But universal obedience, because Christ is my Lord and He owns me and I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own, but I am bought with His own shed blood. So that's the question, and I think it's a searching one too, don't you? Do I love God's Word? And if it is, then I will not miss the preaching. I will read the Bible to sustain my soul. I will commune with Christ when I read it. I will seek to be universally obedient. Which leads me to say this too, that if indeed you're being sent off and you're really going off, California or Gainesville or Tallahassee, or if you're really going off, you need to find a good biblical reformed church, all right? Somewhere in which God is reverently worshiped, a place in which the Word is preeminent and its proclamation is faithful, not happy-clappy evangelicalism, but a solid biblical reformed serious church. And I can already tell you, in Gainesville and in Tallahassee, there are some OPC churches, so I'll cue you in. So, love God's Word. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And now, my young adult friends, sheep, it tells us to meditate. That's the second thing. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And I want to spend some time with this. Meditate on God's Word. That's second. Now, there are two words for meditate, perhaps more than two, but two in particular. The one that is found here means an occupation or a concern. And so your mind's occupation and concern is with God's law. But if you'll turn to Psalm 1:2, I want to show you a different word. It's a different word in Hebrew. It's translated the same. In Psalm 1:2, you know Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You see that in verse 2? "In his law doth he meditate day and night." That word means to mumble to yourself. That's what meditation is, learning how to take God's Word and to mumble it to yourselves. So we Christians indeed are very strange, aren't we? We go around all day mumbling to ourselves. We're repeating God's Word and the truths of God's Word in our minds and in our hearts. Now, if you look at Psalm 2, the next psalm, you see verse 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" That word "imagine," speaking of the heathen that rage against God, is the same word translated "meditate" in Psalm 1, verse 2. So the heathen meditate also. Everyone meditates. The godly meditate. The ungodly meditate. In other words, your minds and your hearts and your affections are going to be set somewhere. They will be focused on something. So the godly must discipline themselves to meditate on God's Word with the help of the Holy Spirit. You know this passage, Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Or Psalm 63, 5 and 6, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now, John Owen, the great Puritan, said, the Christian does not cling to sin, but sin clings to him. And that's why you need to learn how to meditate on God's word day and night. He also made the statement, may the cross of Christ so fill your heart that there's no room for sin. That requires biblical meditation. And so, we're talking here about biblical meditation, Christian meditation. We hear a lot about Eastern meditation, don't we? What is Eastern meditation? You empty your mind. Christian meditation says, no, you don't empty your mind, you fill your mind. And you fill your mind with truth. You fill your mind with God's holy word. The point is that the heart will be aflame with Christ when we fill our minds with his word. So maybe at this point you're saying underneath that I can't see, I know this. I know this. Oh, do you? I hope you do. But the practice has largely been abandoned by Christians and largely abandoned in the churches. We no longer know how, by and large, to meditate on God's word, and we must learn how. I'll give you an example of it. How discouraging for the minister of the word to stand in the pulpit on a Sunday morning and preach the realities of who God is, the realities of heaven and hell, the great glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his atonement and resurrection. And then you come out of the pulpit and people are talking about the ball game. We can't even meditate through a sermon and be affected by it. So we need to learn how to biblically meditate on God's word. Now notice the text again, will you? There in Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. So we meditate all the day on God's word. And this shows the need. Biblical texts are innumerable here. But remember, Psalm 2:1 shows that when we do not, we are not godly. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said this, a Christian without meditation is like a soldier without arms or a workman without tools. Without meditation, the truths of God will not stay with us. The heart is hard and the memory slippery, and without meditation, all is lost. Now, I quote Thomas Watson, the Puritan, because they were the best at this. And they understood that the preached word will by and large not profit you, and your prayers will not be effective as they should be if you do not learn how to constantly meditate upon the word of God. Now, the text shows also the frequency of meditation, doesn't it? What does it say? How often? All the day. But now there are special times for deliberate meditation as well, aren't there? And let me say to you that it's going to be extremely important as you are sent off that your meditations on God's word have some set times, morning and evening. Uninterrupted time with God. Morning and evening, not in haste. You say you're too busy. If you take that attitude, you really will suffer in your Christian walk. And you will be unprepared for the battle. Let me tell you another set time for meditation. And this is almost forgotten in the Church of Jesus Christ today, and the church and the entirety of our society is suffering for it. Can you guess what it is? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath is ordained by God, the Lord's day is ordained by God as a set time of meditation upon his word. The Puritans called the Sabbath day the market day of the soul. Now, why would they call it the market day of the soul? What do you do when you go to the market? If you go down to the grocery store, what do? Not on Sunday, some other time. You buy. You maybe buy a lot. You stock up, right? The Lord has ordained the Christian Sabbath for you to stock up for the rest of the week. It's a set time of meditation. And so, do you honor the Lord's Day? Will you honor the Lord's Day when your parents are not there with you? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. But now, fourthly, I want to help us to know how to meditate on God's Word. If it's true that all the day this word that I love, I'm called upon to meditate upon, that I need to know something about how to do it, don't I? And again, if you're a reader of the Puritans, you know that there are two things to be said here. First of all, there is deliberate meditation, deliberate meditation. You have set times and you stick to your times in private with your Lord. Hearing sermons, that's a set time for meditation on God's Word. But also, that time with the Lord in your private time with God when you're reading the Bible. And themes are suggested to you, maybe the Trinity or God's nature or God's promises or the person of Christ or the cross, the resurrection, salvation, the Lord's Supper, heaven, hell, eternity, the return of Christ. And learning actually how to mumble these things to yourself, to take these portions of God's Word and put them in your mouth like hard candy that dissolves slowly and then begins to feed you. Another part of deliberate meditation is memorizing Scripture, and I cannot tell you how, if I could do one thing over in my Christian life, it would be when my mind, I try and memorize God's Word almost every day, but it's much more difficult now than it was when I was your age. And at your age, you're capable of verses, a pericope, a chapter, a whole book of the Bible, or books of the Bible. And so I urge you to get God's Word into your mind and down in your affections by memorization. It is so important. I also encourage you, as we talk about deliberate meditation, I encourage you to read godly books, and especially the Puritans. I encourage you to read. I want to make a recommendation to you. I recommend, this is a take it or leave it. You can do it if you want. But I'm going to recommend it to the adults next Sunday, a Reformation Heritage Study Bible. Only comes in the authorized version. If you want your ESV next to you, that's fine. But the point is it has the best notes of any study Bible. And in addition to that, it has the best study helps, and it will be a great help to you in meditating upon God's Word. And at the end of every chapter, there is thoughts for personal and family worship. So it actually helps you to think upon the chapter. And of course, if it's the authorized version, that would take another hour, but it's the best to memorize. All right, that's deliberate meditation. But there's another form of Christian meditation that you need to take into your Christian living, and that is occasional meditation. And what I mean by this is developing a heavenly frame of mind. And you do this throughout the day. For example, when I was at home sick recently and I had to be on my back, I read a 900-page book that I thought the weight was good for the flu or whatever I had. That's occasional meditation. I also looked up and I saw the ceiling fan going around, and I thought the winnowing fan is in his hand. And then I started thinking about Paul told Timothy to fan the flame. You see? So you see a door. What do you think? Christ said, I'm the door. And you begin to think that way about everything. If you see a candle, you think Christ is the light of the world, and I'm called to reflect that light. So you develop such a mentality that the Word of God so pervades your life that you're constantly, not only in your deliberate, but in your occasional meditations, thinking upon God's Word. Do you see what I'm saying? To have such a transformed heart that you're meditating upon God's Word all the time. You see a sheep, you think about the Good Shepherd. So this is also meditation all the day on God's Word. I'm not talking about, listen, you need to read, pray, meditate. Read, pray, meditate. Those three things. 5 minutes won't do it. It needs to be all of the life of the heart of the believer. And now is the time to actually make that determinative in your hearts so that it will happen all of your life. And this will prepare you to be zealous and to be on guard against Satan's many traps, and frequent meditation will flame your zeal for Christ. Now, The other thing is this. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is a New Testament passage in which Paul is telling you to meditate. And this is what he says. Colossians 3, 1, actually the first four verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Look to Christ, set your affection, the affection of your heart, on Christ. Because let me tell you, there will be plenty out there that will draw your affections. There will be so much that will want to draw your affections away from Christ. So I return to the initial point. If you're not born from above, you really don't get it. If you are born again, then you do understand. The Lord owns you. He's your master. He's your Lord. He owns your mind, what you think. He owns your affections, what you feel. He owns your will, the desires of the direction of your life. And all of that, the Lord has in his word said, if you will learn to meditate on me and on my word, then you will actually begin to live what you meditate. Because you will live what you meditate. If it's not God's word and something else, you'll live what you meditate. It is my desire, and I know it's Pastor McDonald's as well, and Adam's. We know we fail, but we want our lives to be a transcript of our sermons, right? You should want your lives to be a transcript of that upon which you meditate. And that's my charge to you. And I really don't think that for young Christians, I could have said anything more important. So will you go from here tonight and meditate upon this charge? Yes? All right. May the Lord bless and keep you.